33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. If you've ever been curious about the return on investment for a college degree, think employment rates, student debt burden, and the like, you'd pretty much be out of luck. Because since 2008, there's been a ban on a federal database that would track such information linking student education data to national employment data. But the University of Texas has found a way around that, kind of, sorta. Yesterday, the UT system rolled out a database with help from the U.S. Census Bureau that tracks earning and debt data for graduates. Here to tell us more, Jeremy Bauer-Wolf, reporter for Inside Higher Ed. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
To begin with, how does this database work, and what are universities like UT hoping to accomplish with it?
So twofold. So the UT system actually sent a lot of information over to the census, and this is the first time this partnership, any sort of partnership, has existed with the census, with a higher ed institution. And essentially, they're marrying the census data that already exists with the student data, and they can sort of track all over the country where UT graduates are going. So on the tool, you can see different programs by campus. It breaks it down to that. And then you can also see the average debt that you're getting, the median debt. And that actually goes down to the monthly payment that students might be giving. So it's pretty interesting. And then the UT grads, they can use it to sort of guide their career choices, but it's also sort of a lobbying tool for the UT system. You know, with higher ed funding sort of declining among state institutions, this is a chance for them to go to the legislature and say, hey, this is what you're getting for your buck. So this is definitely going to be something that's going to be replicated around the country.
That's one of the reasons I mentioned other universities. So right now, as you point out, just the University of Texas is involved here, but I guess everyone, all these major universities are looking to see how this unfolds. Do we yet have correlations? I mean, have they announced, which degrees seem to earn people more, or is that to come?
They've done some sort of analysis. I think the big push right now is showing that liberal arts education can be a good return on investment. You know, the liberal arts education sphere has sort of been poo-pooed on in the last few years as STEM is on the rise. But there's actually shows that liberal arts grads from the UT system are actually earning quite a bit more than the average salary across the nation. So I think that's going to be a big talking point.
You know, I have to be honest, I'm a little concerned when it comes to higher ed. You can make this powerful argument that the return on investment isn't about what you earn necessarily. It's about opportunities, experiences, meeting people, learning for the sake of learning, seeing things you haven't seen before, that sort of thing. And I wonder if having this sort of narrow perspective on what return of investment on investment means in some way kind of obscures the educational mission of universities.
So, you know, we would love to think that that's the case. And I think a lot of students and their families are looking for that experience. You know, they're looking for the campus climate. They're looking for opportunities to connect their students with careers, with friendships. But really, you know, again, when it's coming down to it, the state legislatures are not concerned with the fluffy stuff. They're concerned with saying, you know, how can we improve our state's economy? What are you doing to put money back into it? So, again, I think that's going to be the big argument there if we're talking about state dollars.
But doesn't this favor the Harvards of this world, where the name on the diploma is everything? I mean, I think about historically black colleges, where salaries may have very little to do with what you've learned, but a whole lot more to do with factors like historic discrimination. I mean, is it fair to either the colleges or their graduates to have your school ranked like you would, say, sales among car dealerships?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, too, because I can't necessarily weigh in on that, but I think the colleges want to move away from a ranking system. And I think the UT system deliberately didn't do this in sort of a ranking way. If you want to compare the campuses, that's sort of something you have to do yourself. They designed the tool in a way so that you really have to focus on the campus that you're looking at. The Obama administration had actually floated the idea of doing a ranking system, and that it was just overwhelmingly shot down. People called it corrosive, and they ended up rolling out with a different federal tool.
You described this as a kind of workaround around that federal ban that was put in place in 2008 that I was mentioning a little earlier. What's behind the ban to begin with? I mean, why is it that the federal government hasn't wanted to collect this? And how is this a workaround if the U.S. Census Bureau is involved?
So it's interesting because the major concern here is privacy. But what's sort of overlooked here is that the Department of Ed is collecting this data. And so obviously, as you pointed out, too, is the Census Bureau. So really, if there was going to be sort of a centralized system, it would just sort of be connecting the dots on information that's already collected. But again, I think the big concern here is privacy, and that's what's sort of being cited by Republicans and Democrats who oppose this. And private associations representing private institutions also oppose this just because it's sort of a overreach of the federal government in their view.
You think this is going to ultimately lead to overturning the federal ban that was put in place in 2008?
It seems very unlikely. The chairwoman of the committee that controls that, Virginia Fox, has very much indicated that she's against a centralized system, a centralized federal system. And it just doesn't seem to have a lot of push. You know, it might change when you have different state institutions coming in with this. You know, Colorado is going to be the next one to take advantage of this partnership with the census. 31 new institutions. So as we see new pressure for systems to be held accountable, that might change on the federal level. But at the moment, no.
Jeremy Bauer-Wolf is a reporter for Inside Higher Ed. Jeremy, thanks for taking a few minutes out to talk with the Texas Standard.
Absolutely. Thank you.